You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Total Screamers podcast. My name is Jed, and today I'm joined by Billy. Say hello, mate.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Not very well, if I'm honest. not very well. It's with a heavy heart that we've sat down to record this podcast today, folks. Some of you may know the football world has been absolutely rocked by the news that Burnley have parted company with Sean Dyche. The patron saint of the Screamers has gone. Billy. Obviously, you're our resident Dyche expert.
joking, he says with a Dyche jumper sat behind him.
give us your thoughts. How did you feel when the news broke earlier today?
I was just a bit confused, really. It's like the unsackable man has been sacked. I don't really know what Burnley expect either. It's just such a bizarre one to get your head around. I mean, what he's done for that club throughout is how long? 10 years, is it? Something like that, if not longer.
Yeah.
Done for that club, I think he deserved at least to get to the end of the season and then reevaluate, especially in the middle of a relegation fight as well. You've got someone there who's been through it for 10 seasons, pretty much. It's like, just, he knows what he's doing. It's worked for this long. Like, if it doesn't work now, or if it doesn't work for this season, then reevaluate at the end of the season. But it's just such a weird one to me.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's such a strange time. Like, you look at the table alone, right? They've got 8 games left to play. Mm. They're 4 points off safety. That is more than doable especially for a team managed by Sean Dyche. I know they lost to Norwich, but they beat Everton. That's just the way things are in the Premier League.
I mean, you look at the chances that they had against Norwich as well, and they should have won that game, and quite easily could have won that game. It's not like they're not creating enough or anything like that. They've got good fixtures as well, or fairly decent fixtures anyway. It could be a lot worse for them. So I do think, given the time and his experience, he could quite easily have turned this around.
He's got potentially 2 massive favours that Villa could have done them still to come.
Probably will do them, yeah. we'll turn this into a from a baffling decision into a great one.
It is really strange. I mean, I want to just say, like, first of all, I find it baffling that they've let him go at this point of the season when there's still so much to play for. It seems like they're banking on a new manager bounce, which you're not guaranteed. Doesn't matter who you bring in, whether it's Big Sam or whatever, you're giving someone realistically 7 games because they're not going to have someone in by tomorrow or by this weekend. So 7 games to keep you up. I mean, it's doable, but realistically, like, it would have been better to sort of keep Dyche in there. And if you go down, then let him go. Then if you have to, that's my take on it. Secondly, the man got him into Europe. For God's sake, it seems like a pretty poor way to cut ties with him. Yeah. given that he's been in relegation battles before, kept them up, you know, had that one season where they got into the Europa League. Like, that's, Burnley are never going to achieve that again for a long time. Not with the way the club's start set up. They just don't, you know, to keep it running, they don't splash out on players and stuff, do they? You know, thirdly, they've had a squad based on mainly homegrown talent and cheap buys and stuff like that. This year is the first season I can remember them signing a player from abroad. And they've signed, obviously, they bought Weghorst in January and Cornet in the summer. And like, if you're gonna, you know, keep it one way for so long and then finally let Sean Dyche sort of spread his wings a little bit and bring some talent in from abroad, give him, you know, give him a good opportunity to do that. Like, yeah, it's like they've just given him it, like they've finally built his hopes up. It's not quite worked out, but there's still a chance they can stay up, and then they've just pulled the rug out from underneath him. Yeah. I feel sorry for Sean. I do.
Yeah, I think he'll feel really hard done by. I don't know. You don't know as well, I suppose, if something's happened behind the scenes. Maybe he's just gone, look, I can't do this anymore. Because they've recently sold the club as well, haven't they? They've recently been taken over.
Yeah.
I saw something, apparently, since taking the club over, the new owners have done not a lot. They really haven't done an awful lot other than put the club in debt, which they previously didn't have. So maybe Sean Dyche has said, look, I can't do this anymore. It's either, I don't know. But it probably just isn't a, look, you're not doing good enough.
But it's not, I haven't seen anything saying that he's walked. Like, everything says that they've sacked him.
I just don't know if there's something that's gone on behind the scenes and there's been a big bust up or something, and the owners owners backs up and they've just said, right, you're gone.
Maybe he's had a fight in the changing room or something, and he's like bitten someone's nose off.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
maybe he was getting a bit too big for his boots, you know. Wanting some more gravel in the canteen for his lunch and stuff. There's not enough gravel. Where's my bricks?
apparently the players aren't allowed pints anymore. You hear that one?
Really? That seems very un-Burnley. They live on pints and pies, surely. Right. There's Burnley players.
And chips.
It's going to be really interesting now. chips, gravy, everything. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens now. Like, I'd love it if they stay up, just because, you know, I liked Burnley in the Premier League. They're one of those teams, aren't they, that quite often they can be difficult to play against. And they do make things more interesting. I wouldn't mind if they stayed up, but
as a Villa fan with experience,
not necessarily. Burnley,
they're a very hard team to play against, and it does my head in every single time we play them. So now Sean Dyche is gone, maybe they'll come out a bit more. I highly doubt it.
I don't want to see a Burnley playing like tiki taka football though. Like, I don't want to see that. I want to see Burnley.
No, but it also wouldn't be too bad if they did go down though. That's what I'm trying to say.
maybe they need to go down to come back stronger. Like, maybe that needs to happen. But
listening to the Peter Crouch podcast too much.
I think that, you know, sometimes that does help, because they'll go and get themselves a bit of an ego boost in the Championship if they're beating everyone. Yeah. You know, but it's interesting times. Like I say, it's still on. They can still survive. So I'm really keen to see who they get in there. I do think it's going to be Big Sam. I can't look past Big Sam.
It's got Big Sam written all over it, hasn't it?
It does, doesn't it? They're a Big Sam team. Like, they play Big Sam football.
Yeah,
and it's a Big Sam situation where they're on the brink of relegation. Like, his reputation's in tatters after last season with West Brom. But it's a chance for Big Sam to restore some glory to his name.
It just depends whether he wants to be another 2-month coach, if you know what I mean.
Oh, if they pay him well enough for it, I'm sure he will.
I'm sure he'll take anything if they pay him well enough for it. It's whether they will pay
exactly enough for him. Exactly. Although to be fair, no points. Big Sam might not be tempted by that, to be fair.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
But what about the player manager rumor that's going around?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's insane. I've seen something earlier saying Ben Mee is currently player manager or something like that. Like, oh,
he's going to be the interim manager for the foreseeable, or it was something along those lines, wouldn't it? It'd just be prime, like,
don't they have
proper 90s football?
Do they not have a coach still at the club, or like an under 23s manager or whatever? Like, why is it falling to Ben Mee to do it?
I saw something saying that he's quite heavily involved in like the under 23s development thing.
Really?
So that could be a part of it, and he could be like bit part coach for the under 23s, and they've thought you're doing good enough for them.
Doing the job.
Now you've got the first team. Man,
this is news to me that Ben Mee basically runs Burnley. Like, so we all this time we've been hyping up Sean Dyche for all this time, and really Ben Mee's the one that's been pulling the strings.
He's the mastermind behind it all.
Like, this is unbelievable. What a day. I can't cope with it, to be honest. is there anyone besides Big Sam that we think might get the job?
No, there's no names to mind for him, is there? It's literally just Big Sam that, like you say, that springs to mind. And
yeah,
like you said though, it's a Big Sam job, it's a Big Sam team, they play the Big Sam way. It's just got Big Sam written all over it.
If it doesn't happen, I'll be absolutely devastated. Like, he must be odds on favourite. I've not had a look yet, but he must be odds on favourite to get the job. I know Rafa's without a club at the minute as well, but I don't see Rafa going in there.
Oh, that was another thing that I saw on Twitter.
I saw a tweet about Rafa going in and sending Everton down, which would be hilarious if that happens.
Oh, God, it would be funny.
But I also think that I'd prefer to see Big Sam at Burnley.
Yeah, you would, just so Big Sam's back in football.
Yeah, the football needs Big Sam. Big Sam needs football. Neither of us are happy when we're not together.
Oh, right, man.
Okay, we'll see how Burnley get on with player manager Ben Mee. I want to see him. I want to see him on at the weekend. Who have they got at the weekend? They got West Ham away on Sunday. I want to see him suit and tie in the first half, and then bring himself on for the second half. Like, he just pulls the jacket and the shirt off, and he's got his Burnley kit on underneath. Like, that's what I want to see.
He goes full Sean Dyche in the freezing cold in the first half, and he just supermans it off.
Yeah, that's what I want to see.
Six goals down, bosh, here comes Big Bendy, save the day. I
mean, why wouldn't he start himself, though? This is like, he'd have to. He's their best defender, isn't he?
What? Is he still injured, though? That's another thing.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, that's ruined it if he is injured. Well, maybe that's why then. If he's got no chance of playing, then maybe
that's a chance, it all makes sense now.
It all makes sense. Okay.
We'll see what happens. Right now. Yes, he is injured. Leg injury. Unknown return date, as it says. Oh,
there we go. It's Ben Mee in the shirt and tie then on Sunday. The fact that they've got West Ham away brings us really nicely onto West Ham themselves after their European heroics last night. Did you watch the game, Billy?
I didn't watch the game, actually. I was watching Barcelona against Eintracht Frankfurt. Yeah, didn't go the right way either.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we can come on to Barcelona in a minute, but I wanted to talk about West Ham first. I think we've probably got more West Ham fans listening than Barcelona and Eintracht Frankfurt fans.
I don't know.
Potentially. I mean, by that, I mean, we've got Big Steve, who's a West Ham fan, and then that's it. so, yeah, I thought they were absolutely brilliant. From start to finish, they were class. Declan Rice is just absolutely immense. He just cuts out everything. He breaks up every attack, and he got himself a goal as well. It's a good finish. Like, they're just in absolute dreamland at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. I just find it bizarre because every time I watch them, particularly in the Premier League, I'm just gobsmacked as to where they are. Because the way that they play just doesn't match where they are. Fighting for European football, playing European football in a Europa League semi-final, it just doesn't match. And I think it's just, for me anyway, it's just baffling, really. I mean, it does help when you've got someone as good as Declan Rice pulling the strings in midfield.
Yeah.
And they're just dangerous from corners as well, aren't they? That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever there's a corner, you're just like, oh, it's 1-0 West Ham.
Yeah, it's Zuma, it's Dawson. Like, they're just so effective in the air. And it's like, it is such a weapon for them. And they showed it again last night, obviously, Craig Dawson getting the opening goal. For West Ham to be going to somewhere like Lyon, I know Lyon obviously aren't really at the level that they were in the past, but they're still a big European side. For West Ham to go there and absolutely turn them over and beat them 3-0, that's just insane.
Without Creswell as well, who obviously got sent off in the first half. He's a big miss when they're out, but when he's out, because of his set piece, he's so dangerous from set piece. He's got such a good delivery on him.
Yeah.
So to do it without him as well, and to still score a header.
Yeah. But Craig Dawson, I mean, like, he'll just head anything, won't he? It's unreal. It's,
you look at his career path with West Brom and then Watford.
Yeah.
And now West Ham in the Europa League semi-final.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It just makes me question everything in life.
It does, but I mean, there's a realistic chance that West Ham could go on and win this tournament.
Absolutely.
And then Craig Dawson will be playing in the Champions League next year, which will just be insane as well. Like, I think West Ham in the league, they're not, I don't see them getting in the top four at the minute. They're 6 points behind Spurs. And I know there's time, but Spurs also have a game in hand, so I don't see West Ham getting in the top four, but they can finish in the top six, which is where they are at the minute.
Definitely, yeah.
So I mean, sometimes they are just a completely different side, aren't they? They don't turn up. Sometimes when they do turn up, you know, when the likes of Jared Bowen are firing, when Antonio is just bullying defenders, like, they can be unplayable. As teams have found out.
I think something that's so good about West Ham as well is even when they're not fully at the races, they can still grind through a win. They can still grind out results. It's like when they played Villa, for example. They were so bang average, but they just still managed to win, which was so frustrating from a Villa point of view because they were certainly there for the taking. But they just grind out results. And, I mean, fair play to them. Fair play to David Moyes as well. You know, he's doing such an incredible job for them to get them where they are, both in the league and in Europe. I mean, personally, I'm not overly keen on the football, like I've said, but he's doing something right, isn't he, at the end of the day?
He is, yeah. You can't have everything either. I mean, you either win the Moyes way or you play good football. It's just one of the two. No, to be fair, I think they do play good stuff at times. I think, like, he has to be given massive credit for the job he's done there last season to get them where they are now and this season. I mean, you can only see the only way is up if they keep hold of Declan Rice. But I do also think that without Declan Rice, they're not where they are right now. And West Ham fans, I think, will happily admit that as well. They're just lucky to have him, and they know it. I'm going to move on to the Barca Eintracht Frankfurt game. What was that like watching that, Billy?
It was really bizarre because it was at Barcelona, but it seemed like it was in Frankfurt.
I've seen the pictures. Yeah, it's just millions of, millions, but loads of Frankfurt fans at the home end. Like, there were just everywhere.
I think I saw something saying that there were 30,000 Frankfurt fans in the Camp Nou.
That's a great effort. That is insane. It would have been harder. Surely it must have been harder to get away tickets than home tickets then, like in the away end there.
Yeah.
So I'm about to imagine they'd have had a couple of thousand in the away end.
Just before we came on here, I saw a video of Joan Laporta, the president at Barcelona. And he was saying that they gave 5,000 fans, 5,000 tickets to Frankfurt for that away end.
Yeah.
And the rest of the tickets they got were sold through season tickets who sell them back to the club.
Oh, really?
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and they blocked German credit cards. So no one with a German credit card could buy the tickets. And there was so they did everything that they could do to prevent such a situation from happening, but it still happened. So
Really?
Yeah, it was mad.
That's crazy.
It's crazy the fact that, like I say, they blocked German credit cards from being able to buy home end tickets, and still there was 30,000 people there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
That's ridiculous. I was thinking it was sort of like a general sale thing where all you have to do is just make like a Barcelona account and just go in and buy a ticket.
I think it was very much that, and also
it was purely season tickets and that.
No, it was because the tickets were sold.
Like, I mean,
there were season ticket holders who sold it back to the club, who then put it on general sale. But I think it was they did block German credit card holders, but it's just mad, isn't it? How you can get so many tickets? They must have. I don't know. I assume they've got Spanish or other nationality credit cards, or however they managed to do it. They managed to do it somehow, didn't they?
I'm just picturing now. Like, I want to see the London Stadium just full of Frankfurt fans now.
That'd just cause riots, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. It would. It would get. It would be. Oh, it'd be an absolute outrage if that happened in this country when they meet in the semi-final. Like, I mean, they'll try it. Surely they're going to try it if they've done it.
I think they'll definitely try it. Yeah. But I think West Ham...
they'll crack down on that. Surely,
but you probably can't get tickets because West Ham fans are going to go just as much.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think if they're in a
90,000 seater stadium, it's a different story, isn't it, to a 55,000 seater?
Very true. Very true. I mean, were Eintracht Frankfurt that much better than Barcelona on the night, like playing wise?
No, I don't think so, really. They got a penalty in the first minute, and it just set, I think it was the first 5 minutes, and it just set the tone, really. But Bas had a good few chances, particularly towards the end of the game. They could have had a penalty, which stopped play for about 7 minutes because VAR stopped working.
Oh,
the whole day's been
a shambles.
It really was. And then they made a good effort of it towards the latter stages of the game, but it was just too little too late by that point. It just wasn't meant to be. It came close, to be fair. It came very close. There was 9 minutes added on, and Sergio Busquets scored a screamer in the 90th minute. So they still had 9 minutes to get two goals. They got a penalty, which ended up being the very last kick, which I thought was also a fairly soft penalty and ended up sending the Frankfurt player off. So, I mean, there was no real need to give the penalty. If the ref didn't give a penalty there, then no one's complaining.
Fair enough. Well, interesting tie, that one. Eintracht Frankfurt and West Ham. I'm not sure when the tie actually takes place. It'll be within the next couple of weeks, I'd imagine.
Yeah, probably. No idea.
But on the other side of the draw, Rangers will be playing RB Leipzig. That's going to be tough for Rangers. But we could end up with a Rangers West Ham final.
Stands a very good chance, you know. Rangers managed to get it over on Dortmund, so I can't see why they can't do it against RB Leipzig either.
Yeah, I think we'll see a Leipzig West Ham final.
I'm being completely honest, but you know, can never rule Rangers out, really. Especially crowd at Ibrox just gets bouncing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does make a massive difference. Yeah. I want to just mention briefly as well the Conference League, because that was on yesterday as well. Leicester got through to the semi-finals. I'm not sure which path they're on, who they've got. But Marseille are through, Roma are through, and Feyenoord are through.
I think they play some Roma tough teams in there.
They're playing. Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I think so.
Tammy Abraham to knock Leicester out, then, in that case, in the semi-finals. And then, yeah, I mean, that's also going to be an interesting little tournament as well. I quite like the Conference League. But when they first announced that it was happening, I thought, what's the point? But I think that teams like Bodo Glimt have been able to go on a pretty decent European run. Like, it makes it good for that.
It gets them recognition as well, doesn't it? For coming so close to beating teams like Roma. They beat Roma in the first leg, I think, didn't they? I can't remember who they beat to play Roma.
They did,
Roma,
yeah.
But that was another fairly big team, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they've played Spurs as well. Did they beat Spurs?
Could have been.
At some point in the tournament, yeah. So it's good for that. And I'm sure if the likes of Villa, for example, got into that Conference League, like, you'd be all over it. It's one of them, ain't it? Sure. Where any team that plays in it, I'm sure is going to be absolutely loving it.
I think such random countries as well, so you just get to go anywhere, really.
Yeah, exactly. It could take you
just
literally
train tracks halfway through the pitch.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I want to see.
Absolutely.
But I think that just about wraps us up for the podcast today. Good night, Sean Dyche. We hope to see you back in football soon. That's the main takeaway today. I think I'd love to see, just before we end, if Simeone somehow leaves Atletico Madrid, Sean Dyche just takes over there and just carries on.
Wouldn't surprise me. It'd just be perfect, wouldn't it?
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
The shithousery continues.
Make it happen, Atletico. Make it happen. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and cheery bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.